I cannot believe you've never heard of this fucking video. So there's this movie that came out in 1991 called Whore. The movie was called Whore. And it was it's based on a play, I think, called Bondage, but it's based on a play. And it's about like a woman who is like a sex worker. She's like walking the streets and doing stuff. And the opening scene of the movie is, and I'm sorry, I know we promised we were going to talk about the RAC remix at the end of the last episode, but I have to talk about this because I was just thinking about it. So the opening scene of the movie, she's standing on the street and this guy drives up. And he's like talking to her and they're like doing the basic exchange. Like, are you a cop? No. Are you? No. And then he goes, what do you do? And she goes, I have sex, give head half and half. And I do dominatrix. And she like opens her jacket and like shows she's wearing like a skimpy top. And like, she's wearing like leather wear. And he goes, oh, is that all? And she's like, what do you want? A hand job? And then he's like really like kind of polite and like smiley the entire time, and then his face like goes stone cold and he goes, I want to fuck you up the ass.
Oh Jesus.
And then she gets really offended and she goes stick it up your own asshole. And then he looks at her like all weird and then he goes, I would if I could, bitch. And then he just drives away. It's the funniest fucking thing. And it's just like, I would if I could, bitch. And he just
oh, that is good. So that fucking is something else.
It's so fucking goofy. I don't know why I was thinking about it, but I remember hearing about it in a YouTube video I was watching a long time ago, and I just periodically revisit it every so often. It's very funny. It has a 38 approval on Rotten Tomatoes as of January 2024. So it's not a great movie.
Sure.
But, I mean, Ebert gave it a 3 out of 4.
Oh, good.
So, yeah. Anyway, we did listen to the RAC remix of Victorious as we promised.
Yeah.
It is interesting.
It is very interesting.
It goes places. So I'll play a little clip of it here before we talk about it. Like broken Christmas lights, my touch is black and poisonous, and nothing like my punch drunk kiss. I know you need it. Do you feel it? Drink the water, drink the wine. Oh, we gotta turn up the crazy, living like a washed up celebrity, shooting fireworks like it's the 4th of July until we feel yeah, it was interesting. It goes places. It does things.
Yeah. I you caught my reaction of me like starting it, kind of bopping with it a little bit, and then fucking like right when the lyrics started is when I came back in here and I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah, because they were like doing some weird like pitch changes with his voice. The chorus is doing like a weird spooky scary skeletons type of deal.
Very much so, yeah.
But it's like very dancey, which,
yeah, I mean, I will never listen to this again, but I am glad to have been treated with this on this day.
Yeah, I'll listen to Victorious, like vanilla Victorious.
Yes.
Way, 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 way before I'll listen to this again. But it was interesting.
It's, yeah, I mean, it's a good 3 minutes of weird sounds.
There's a lot there. Yeah, we're.
I will come and no, it's not. I'm a man.
Yeah.
You know, it didn't. It made me appreciate the the regular version of the song more.
Yeah, I think that's what it does for me too. It's like, yeah, I could do. I don't really like remixes of songs that I like.
No, you know,
they're not usually better.
Not often.
You're not.
Interesting though, you know, good effort put in.
Yeah.
Next season we'll make sure that RAC does our intro music for us.
Yeah, the RAC remix of I Write Since Not Tragedies. That'd be something, wouldn't it?
Surely it'd be safe.
I joined in with any of you people ever heard of.
Sometimes like remixes are interesting. Like they'll call it a remix, but it's not really a remix. Like there's a version of what's the fucking song called? I'm looking it up right now. Finesse by Bruno Mars. There is a quote remix of Finesse that is just Cardi B singing specific parts instead of Bruno Mars, which that was good. I like that version better.
Sure.
It's not really a remix. Like remixes are hit or miss.
Yeah.
If you know what, if somebody came to me and was just like, can you make all remixes better? I'd be like, what if I could? Bitch.
I mean, let's see. Just a quick glance here. Dance. I'm sorry. Ass.
Though. Wait, what?
In parentheses.
What did you say?
A. $$. Dance by Big Sean is one that, you know, because the original one did not have Nicki Minaj in it, and it's not good. And Nicki Minaj at least comes in and makes it semi something. Or the cruise remix with Nelly. Does that save that song?
Yeah, I don't think so.
I don't know, man.
There is a. I thought you were going to bring up Dance by Justice.
Oh,
so
no.
Justice, the DJ group, has a song called Dance. And there is a remix of it that I really fucking love. It's a Benny Blanco remix featuring Mos Def and Spank Rock.
Oh, damn.
It's so good. Yeah, that's a really, really good remix.
Let's see. Hello Seattle, that Owl City song.
Who remixed that?
Owl City. He remixed his own song. They're both on the on that album. Like Hello Seattle's, you know, wherever it lives, and then the remix is at the very end.
You know the song I Took a Pill in Ibiza?
Yeah. Yeah.
The version that you're thinking of is a remix of the Mike Posner song.
Right. Yeah, I mean, yeah. I think the original is it's much slower.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or is it Boys in the Hood or Today Was a Good Day? Like one of those, like the more popular version is the remixed version. I think it's Today Was a Good Day. I can't remember, but yeah, like the one that played on the radio is the not original track.
Yeah. I think that, you know, say what you will about Billy Ray Cyrus, and there's a lot to say about Billy Ray Cyrus. The Old Town Road version of with Billy Ray Cyrus, the Lil Nas X song, is the better version.
Yeah,
for sure.
Like, I think it, you know, obviously it's going to vary. I mean, most rap remixes also, like, I think a lot of them were just called remix when it was actually the original version. Let's not even think about Ignition Part 2, because infamously referred to as the remix to Ignition when it was not.
Yeah. That always That actually reminds me, speaking of R&B singers that people have questionable opinions about, was there ever a Confessions Part 1, that Usher song?
Yeah.
Was there?
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever heard Confessions Part 1. I've only heard Confessions Part 2.
I am pretty sure, like the Owl City, the fucking remix, it is like Confessions is right before Confessions Part 2.
Is it? Okay. Because I've never
Oh, okay. Because I've pulled it up here. It's Confessions is the interlude that leads into Confessions Part 2.
Okay, that's probably why then.
Oh, but here that's at the end is Confessions Part 1. What are we doing, Usher?
What are you talking about? Where's
on the album?
Oh, in the special edition version.
Oh, okay.
And then the Confessions Part 2 Confessions special edit version.
I love it.
I think if I talk about this more anymore, I'm going to fucking combust.
So you want me to embarrass myself? I'm pretty sure I had this CD.
It had a lot of good songs on it. Yeah.
Burn,
My Boo, Caught Up.
Oh, yeah.
Those are good songs. Don't feel embarrassed about having this album. It was a good album. Usher is good. But, like, just people make fun of him a lot for some reason, so.
I don't know. Put on a decent Super Bowl show, aside from when he like,
put on a decent
fucking hit clipsed us with 5 songs in a row.
I don't know why, because there's zero reason to feel this way, but I do miss hit clips.
Miss who?
Hit clips.
Oh, well, I mean, hey, you know, it's like a TikTok these days. It's all one and the same.
I guess
a microcosm of sound. About
having a little keychain I can like click whenever I want to, right. And have like a little 2-second sample of a song at like a fucking trash bit rate that sounds like gobbledygook after 3 years.
Yeah. But you needed a ringtone snap of a sound.
Yeah, I do.
Love it.
Hello, friends. Thank you for joining us today on Adam and Sam at the Disco. It's a podcast about Panic at the Disco, where we talk about Panic at the Disco, like usual. Don't forget to close the goddamn door. I'm Sam.
I'm Adam. You really did it. You really kind of sent
thank
it.
Thank you.
I mean.
Thank you. Fun fact. AI generated that entire thing. What can you do with AI? That. No, that was all me, baby.
Be proud of that.
We're here. We're back. It's another week. As you're listening to this, I'm in England. Fuck off.
You fucking American bastards.
Anyway, love you. Bye. No. It's a podcast, like I said, about Panic at the Disco, and we're going to talk about Panic at the Disco. It's not about Usher. It's not about Usher.
No.
It's not about
U.S. It's not about H-E-R. R-A.
Yeah.
Y-M.
It's
O-N-D.
Yeah. Anyway. It's about... It's about Panic at the Disco, and we are on the second song from the 5th studio album, Death of a Bachelor. It's called Don't Threaten Me with a Good Time.
Don't Threaten Me with a Good Time.
Mm-hmm. Champagne, cocaine, gasoline, and most things in between. I run the city in a shopping cart, a pack of camels in a smoke alarm. This night is heating up.
Still love the little pizza stands that stand in for M's for genius. It's all good. But
I know they really do that, don't they?
That's
they really love the little
pretty interesting font.
Well, yeah, because the M, like the capital M, looks normal.
Yeah,
but the lowercase ones look not normal.
Oh, very flat.
Very weird. Very flat. Very
the
flat.
N is also
okay.
Very
the
flat.
Ends. Yeah, I was gonna say the ends look like pie symbols. It's all bad.
It's not that they don't like round shapes either. Like the H is fine. The O's are O-y, I mean,
yeah. They're, did you just say O-E?
O-E.
They're O-E. O-E. Yeah. The E's and the A's have their roundness, yeah, too. It's just it's fucking very weird. It's very weird. I don't know what font this is, who decided to use it, but...
Give them more money.
Give them more money, yeah. We don't have any... Again, we're recording these back-to-back, as we typically do, with songs that are butted up next to
it. It's our thing.
So we don't have any new comments. It's our thing. We don't really have any new comments on Spotify. Nothing specific to talk about or discuss. I guess.
No, and for us in our current timeline, tomorrow is when the season premiere comes out. So that will be interesting.
Yeah. So we're talking about this. The overview hasn't even come out yet for us. So we'll probably have more to talk about in next week's episode about that. But until such time, you're here to talk about Don't Threaten Me With a Good Time. Speaking of times. And I guess let's just fucking dive into it. We don't gotta linger.
Yeah,
no. We don't gotta linger any longer than we have to. We've got some stuff to talk about.
Pedal to the metal.
Yeah. Yuri, I don't know if you knew about this, Adam, but Brendan Yuri told Radio.com that he wanted to sing about parties he'd been to in real life. I wanted to write a party song, just strictly about parties that I've been to, things I've seen, how crazy that's been. You can't threaten me with a good time. If you think I'm going to be scared of insanity at a party, then you thought wrong, because I'm in. I'm 100% in.
Man, sounds like a real, real party animal right there. You think he was picked last at parties too?
When I was young, I was really bad at parties, and so I wanted to write an anthem about being good at parties.
Yeah. They had a four-door, so they needed to get somebody else in there. They had
that house party up in Summerlin.
Yeah.
Woof. Well, in regards to the interpolation of the B-52's Rock Lobster guitar riff in the song, Yuri went on to explain how his love for that song traced back to his childhood, and he had been waiting to get the publishing rights to use it in one of his songs. He said, "When I was a kid, the first time I heard B-52s, I was like, this is a party. That song encapsulated a party to me. I had that sample as a placeholder, not thinking I'd be able to use it or get publishing rights to it in any way, and finally they heard it enough. They had heard it through my management, and they said, yeah, that's cool. You can use it. That was amazing, because I had plans to replace it." So the B-52s, unlike Fiona Apple, were super chill.
Yeah, he didn't have to say anything about them behind closed doors.
Yeah,
I love how anticlimactic that was, too, where it's just like, yeah, that's cool. You can use it. Like, whatever.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, put it in your little song there. Never heard of you.
Fine. Yeah, just put in your little song, you little weirdo. There are even more writers on this song than there were.
On
Victorious.
I think, in fairness, this time.
Oh, the B-52s.
Yes.
The B-52s.
Yeah.
That probably.
Like, I cannot recall most of the names, but I do think Wikipedia, like, their highlights would show you.
Yeah. Yeah, that is also very true. I wasn't even thinking about that. So... let me read these credits really quick. Produced by Teal Duville, J.R. Rotem, and Jake Sinclair. Written by Catherine Pearson, Cynthia Wilson, Frederick Schneider, Julian Strickland, Ricky Wilson, Jerker Hansen. Oh.
Okay.
Okay. I'm trying to see how many of these characters.
I think anybody before Ricky Wilson.
Frederick Schneider. Yeah, Frederick Schneider, Julian Strickland are from the B-52s. Cynthia Wilson, Cindy Wilson is from the B-52s.
Sure.
And Kate Pearson is from the B-52s.
Yeah. Makes sense.
And then... Ricky Wilson is also formerly of the B-52s. Jerker Hansen, I don't think is from the B-52s.
I don't know. Let's see. I'll click on her.
No, he's not. Them. He's not from the B-52s. Jerker Hansen. Also written by Azeem, Carl Lehman, Jake Sinclair, J.R. Rotem, Teal DeVille, and Brendan Urie. So if you take away the credits for the B-52s, you've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 writers, which is the same amount as Victoria.
Somehow so, still less than there was for
vocals by Brendan Urie.
Keep on keeping on.
Vocals by Brendan Urie, Boyd. Keyboards by Boyd. Label Atlantic DCD2, filled by Rahman. Publisher BMG Music, 401k Music Inc., Universal Music Group, Cobalt Music, Sony's S, Smura, Solar Music Group, and Warner Music Group. Why are there so many fucking?
That's
publishers?
A lot. I
video director.
My only guess is just for B-52 bullshit.
Yeah. Video director Timmy Hendrix, no relation to Jimmy. I think it's just a name. Bass, Boyd. Drums, Boyd. Guitar, Boyd. Release dates, December 31st, 2015 is when the single came out. Don't Threaten Me With a Good Time samples Rock Lobster by the B-52s.
Boy,
we knew that.
Does it.
Oh, man. Songs that sample Don't Threaten Me With a Good Time. Bad Karma by Cameron Reed. Moonlight by Flaming Calibers featuring Death Flies. Drowning Lessons, but there's a crossover by Katie Osmond featuring Brendan Urie and My Chemical Romance.
All right.
Don't Threaten Me With a Good Time covers. Don't Threaten Me With a Good Time. Don't Threaten Me With a Migraine by Silent Wolf. I am not fucking playing these samples.
No.
Go find them yourself. No. You can go on Genius. I'm not doing this anymore. And the good old Portuguese translation.
Oh, yeah. This one.
Oh, yeah.
This is rock, electropop, and pop rock.
Yeah.
What fun.
What fun. On Wikipedia, the genres say pop rock, surf rock, synth pop, and hip hop. And I think the only reason why it says surf rock is because the B-52 sample.
Yes.
It is not surf rock.
No, not at all.
It has the at the beginning, and that's why it says surf rock. It is not a surf rock song. Go fuck yourself, Wikipedia.
It wasn't a rock.
It is the Rock Lobster. Also, Don't Threaten Me With a Good Time is featured on the NBA 2K18 soundtrack. Hey, sports fans, we're back. But yeah, it's past 63 million views on YouTube as of January 2024. In 2016, it peaked at 46 on the U.S. digital song sales for Billboard. It peaked at number 10 for the U.S. rock and alternative songs for Billboard. The U.S. bubbling hot under Hot 100 singles from Billboard at peaked at number 6. The UK OCC charts rock and metal peaked at number 1.
Damn,
interesting. And the U.S. Billboard rock digital songs peaked at number 5. At the end of the year, the U.S. hot rock songs charted at number 29 for the end of the year on the U.S. Billboard charts there for the rock songs. Canada, it's certified gold, 40,000 units sold. The BPI in the United Kingdom, it's certified 400,000 at their gold. And in the United States, the RIAA, fuck the RIAA, it is certified double platinum with 2 million units sold. Wow.
Wow. That's a lot of units.
It's a lot of units. It's a big unit. It's a big chungus.
Big fucking unit. That, UK rock and metal numbers, interesting. Really, like number one.
Yeah,
number one compared to Mumford and Sons, known British folk band.
Yeah, known British folk band. Yeah. Known Mormon British folk band. Just start like rumors about fucking Mumford and Sons. Yeah, they're Mormon.
They're Mormon.
They're from England.
I think people would believe it. I know. If they're American.
Yeah, probably. Hey, Adam.
How do you feel about this song?
Can I ask you a question? Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you. How do you feel about this song?
I think it's a little fucking interesting. It's
a little fucking interesting, he says.
I think that sample is doing some fucking work.
It's doing some lifting. It really is. because it like it really does pull you into the song. You're just like, huh, interesting. It does pull you in. Yeah. I agree.
Sorry, my cats were like fucking freaking out. I had to go like check out.
What the fuck? All the windows are open. The birds are out. Yeah. Probably with the bees. Wow. I don't know.
Springtime. Springtime.
There's Mormons in the neighborhood?
No. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. So
that's how you know it's springtime.
Yeah.
The Mormons
are out. Mormons are out.
With their books.
Their books and their pastels. Hello.
My name is Elder Price.
The book of.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know if I enjoy it less than Victorious, more than Victorious. Obviously, it's not as commonly played as Victorious. Yeah. I think there are, you know, kind of like he always does, there are some pretty cool things that he does with his voice. Like, there are, like, the growly things that he does, which I'm sure has a proper name to it, but I'm going to only call it the growly thing. Like, there's that fucking weird guttural kind of like deep pitch that he takes just for a moment, just kind of a dip.
Yeah.
I think thematically it's a fucking mess.
Yeah. But here's the thing. Okay. I'm going to defend it for being a fucking mess. Is that not the point?
Of course it is. Yeah. Like it's like you said, it's a fucking party song.
But here, despite the fact that it, because here's the thing, despite the fact that it is a fucking mess and it's a party song, it makes more sense than Victorious does.
Definitely.
Definitely.
Like, I can point to each line and be like, oh, yeah, that makes sense for somebody that's waking up from a night of debauchery. Like,
yes.
Like, there's a line in verse 2, when we'll get to it, there's a line in verse 2 of, like, the what are these footprints? They don't look very human-like, but just, like, you can tie that back into being, like, you were fucking all over the place, stumbling over yourself and stepping on your footprints, and they look fucking crazy.
Right.
Like, you know, you can point to this being, like, a thing.
Definitely. I mean, this is, like, the let's get fucked up and do stupid shit song.
Right, exactly.
I don't know. I think it works for what it is. And like you said, it definitely it's serving its job better than Victorious does. There's and if they put the 50 words for murder line in this song, I'd fucking believe it. That would make sense.
Yeah.
Here. Not there.
Yeah.
But I don't know if you needed the full sample to be able to do this. You know, like I get that it's a good heavy hit, and I do agree that I think calling Rock Lobster a party song is fucking interesting to me.
Yeah.
But I guess like it's a well-known song. Like people will hear that and be like, oh shit, that's that thing. Which then Brendan Urie made a career out of doing that for the rest of his tenure in Panic at the Disco. But this is like the most egregious first use of all of this. Also, these samples, and these sounds from other artists. But
yeah, I think this is finally like where our opinions are going to diverge. I like it. I think it's cool. I think it makes sense because I mean, it makes sense. Like, I also don't think that Rock Lobster is like a party song, but I think like the riff is very recognizable.
Yes.
And I like that it's there.
Yeah, I'm not going to be one that's going to serve any better suggestion. I think it's a pretty neat roll-in, but I can also say my cats are just fucking shit up. I can also just say like
you just got to ignore them, dude.
After it's not quiet. Like that's the problem.
I mean, it's never quiet. It's never quiet.
That's true.
With you,
that's true. Well, like I said, the door's open, so it's even worse. Oh no, my headphones are also dying. Things are happening right now. I feel like after hearing this song so many times and after hearing Rock Lobster, like it gives that Victorious effect to me almost where it's just like, I've heard both of these songs now so many times separate from each other. That's like, I just hearing this is not doing it for me, but I can't say like this is, I will definitely put it like in the sand though. Like this is not where the downfall of this band is for me. So I know I made the comment, but like this is not where I think it's done. Like I still think there's a lot of fun to be had with this song.
Yeah. No, I think it's a very fun song. I think it's just, it's literally just like this mess of a song that is like, you know, it's about debauchery. It's not like, this is not your role model song. This is like peak.
Right.
Like Brendan's just talking about like fucking shit that he's talking about. You know what I mean? Like, it's just like that kind of thing. But again, and I feel like I need to preface like all of them with this, but like this one is another example of like the syndrome of what we've talked about, where it's just like, I can see this being like, even like, I don't know, this song could probably be a Vices song if it wasn't so fucking clean.
Yeah, I could probably agree with that.
Like, it sounds like, it's interesting to call this song clean because it's not like, it's not about like being, it's a fucking like crazy, like raucous song about like crazy things.
Sure.
But like the sound of it, like the production, the Write by Committee vibe of it, like it is too sterile. Again, sterile and clean to
yes.
be like for my Kingdom Hearts guys out there, simple and clean. But it's got this, again, it's got this like, okay, we need to make a pop record that's gonna appeal to the masses. It's got that like layer over it that is kind of preventing it. Like I bop to it and I vibe to it, but it's one of those things where it's just like, what's happening here?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, it's the same as what it was. It's just processed. It's just processed rock.
Yeah.
But I feel like at least in this one, it feels okay.
I don't know. Like it's not the bubble gum that we just kind of chewed and mulled over last week. So
yeah, it's not like, it's not bubble gum. It's a little bit more, I mean, a little bit, it's more edgy. It's more like it's more edgy, but again, it's edgy in a way that appeals to like a wider audience.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like this, I think kind of like the last episode, you know, where the line or whatever was like, we see these celebrities do these things, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I think this is just, this is almost satire to, like, in a way.
Yeah.
It's that ironic view just kind of taken literally, that this is all mm-hmm. that rich and famous people do. Like I said last time, is just mm-hmm. get fucked up and party. But, like, this is that crank to 11.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, shall we get into it?
Yep.
Okay. Breaking news, apparently. We're going to talk about the refrain and verse one, and we'll play that right here.
Just woke up in my underwear, no liquor left on the shelf. I should probably introduce myself. You should have seen what I wore. I had a cane and a party hat. I was the king of this hologram, where there's no such thing as getting out of hand. Memories tend to just pop up. Drunk pre-meds and some rubber gloves. 5,000 people with designer drugs. Don't think I'll ever get enough.
Which is just like, again, genius. It's a refrain. It's an intro. It's a bridge.
Yeah, it's a whatever.
Pre-chorus. I don't know.
She's refrain. Words.
Yeah. So we've got that Rock Lobster sample at the beginning. And then it goes into like the with the drums and stuff like that, which I like. Again, I like thematically what is happening with the music. It's just, there is just something about it that's just too processed.
A little bit. And I almost wonder if it is this sampling of somebody else's song right here at the beginning that kind of gives it that feel. because it's not something like it's not something you haven't heard before.
Yeah.
And I do like, you know, kind of like you said, like when the drum smash hits, like it's fucking gold, but I think it's kind of that lead up away from Rock Lobster that kind of makes it feel like a 10 second chase.
Yeah. Here's the thing that I'm thinking about, and I'm going to do this like this thing again.
Mm hmm.
Where I'm comparing Fall Out Boy to Panic at the Disco.
Sure.
Uma Thurman.
Yes.
By Fall Out Boy.
Okay.
Uses that bit from the Munsters theme.
Right.
And kind of gives that like Pulp Fiction vibe because the song's called Uma Thurman.
Yeah.
And that doesn't feel out of place to me. I think it vibes with like the song. I don't necessarily think that having Rock Lobster in Threaten Me With a Good Time is bad. I think that it feels like it's just because.
Yeah, it's just because he was a fan and trying he wanted
to.
It.
Yeah, as opposed to trying to fit it into the song.
Right.
I think that sample from Uma Thurman fits with the song.
Yes.
But I think it works because they took the sample and threaded it into the vibe of the song. Whereas I think Brandon didn't do that with this song.
No.
So it feels a little more out of place than you would expect.
Well, and we'll see how we feel about it when we get there, but I almost wonder like if it would feel more natural to just have it as like leading between the first verse and the chorus, like rather than actually just start your song with it, which makes it come off a little forced. I wonder if that'd make it feel a little more organic to actually just have it bled in. But yeah, it's nowhere near that the work that they're doing in Uma Thurman.
Yeah. So I think that's probably where the vibe comes from, where it feels like, oh, this is interesting, this is weird, but I don't dislike it being there, but I do understand why it maybe feels disjointed, because it's like, okay, sure.
Yeah.
So we get into the refrain, the drums come in, the do 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 do. Wait, am I missing? No, that comes later, I think. Am I being weird? Am I missing my timelines?
No, I think it's right in there.
I'm thinking something, because he comes in with like the gentle "all right, all right," and then like the drums come in, and then all right, yeah. It's a hell of a and then it, yeah, okay, I'm right. But yeah, it's just like a refrain. There's nothing really. There's too much to this. It's a hell of a feeling, kind of like bracing you for what's about to happen.
Right.
Essentially.
Yeah.
Because
it's a lot.
Yeah, it is a lot. But it's just like, again, it's just like the verse comes in. There's no liquor left. We've drank all the liquor. I'm in my underwear. I don't know where I'm at. I don't know these people.
Yeah.
Just probably say hello. You know what I mean? Just like
pick last.
I was wearing crazy stuff. I do love I was the king of this hologram.
Yeah.
I
mean, I had a cane party hat. Like, is just throwing it straight back to I write since not trying. Yeah. Like 100%.
Yeah. But I do love I was the king of this hologram, because it's like setting up this like the world of what we were doing is not real.
Right.
We were in this like fake world fueled by alcohol and drugs, and there was like nothing was off limits.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everything was crazy. Drunk pre-meds and some rubber gloves, yeah. Designer, like all this stuff. Like he's partying with the pre-meds and they probably have some good stuff, and like, yeah. It's like all of this like crazy stuff happening.
Right. Is it the I'm listening in the background real quick. Is it the fucking getting out of hand is one instance of that growl that I mentioned, but I think like it's the 5,000 people with designer drugs.
Yeah.
But, nope.
Where there's, yeah, I do. I think it's where there's no such thing as getting out of hand. Yeah. Like when he does that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I do like that kind of like flourish he does with it. It does seem to be like a newer thing that he had started doing
right.
this album. Because I don't remember a lot of examples of that, like in older stuff. Maybe no. I'm misremembering, but I feel like I would have remembered that. But this feels like something that he started doing for this album, like the type thing.
Yeah.
That he does. Like does that sounded really bad.
Well, it's like he does like this vocal lead in and a vocal bleed out, like
Yeah.
I'm kind of curious how much of that is actually like him, but I mean, you know, having heard him live, he does actually do that, but kind of not with like that same effect, but
yeah,
no less good. So,
but yeah, no, he's bringing these, but like the idea that he's like at this party, he's just like crashed a pre-med party.
Right.
And they probably brought the good stuff to the party because they're pre-med students. So they have the good stuff, the designer drugs and the rubber gloves. Genius seems to think are condoms.
Oh, so, I don't think that, but
I don't think that either.
But never saw anything sexual on that line.
Yeah, never. Not until right now, and I still don't see it.
No,
I do also love. Don't think I'll ever get enough. Don't think I'll ever get enough.
Yeah.
Like that. Like very. It is very like. Okay, I'm gonna say this, and I know you'll agree with me. It is very Bohemian Rhapsody call and response. Don't think I'll ever get enough. Don't think I'll ever get enough. Scaramouche, Scaramouche, will you do the fandang? Yeah.
Right.
It's very Queen. So it's already starting. It's already beginning.
Yep. That's true.
Yeah.
And then like, I'll give it to it right here. Like the verse into the chorus, I think I can deal with this kind of Rock Lobster role. I wasn't trying to allude to any, you know, Nor'eastern food. But yeah, like
Rock Lobster Roll.
Yeah.
Rock and Roll. Rock and Lobster Roll.
Rock and Lobster Roll. Fucking got it.
There's something there.
Yeah. Somebody go start a business, please. I'm sure everything up there is super cheap. But like, it doesn't seem as egregious here. And I don't know if it's maybe that you've already been exposed to it from the intro. But it just seems like it feels a little better. It feels like a transition into something.
Yeah, definitely.
Which I guess putting it at the beginning makes it a transition from the last song to this song, but fuck that thought. So, no.
Yeah. No.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing else to say about the first, like...
Yeah, it's, you know, just, it's just, again, it's like, just like mass debauchery.
Yeah.
Like,
this is all face value. Face deep in it.
Face deep.
Let's do the damn chorus.
Let's do the damn chorus.
Champagne, cocaine, gasoline, and most things in between. I run the city in a shopping cart, a pack of camels in a smoker.
Champagne, cocaine, gasoline, and most things in between. They're doing anything and everything.
All of the
Nothing
things.
Is off.
Yeah.
It's all on the table.
They're having
everything is happening here.
Gasoline fights like Zoolander.
Wake me up before I go.
There's got to be more to life than being ridiculously good looking.
Yeah, they're really just doing everything. They're. I roam the city in a shopping cart, a pack of camels, and a smoke alarm. This is kind of where it's like that line doesn't make sense to me. A pack of camels and a smoke alarm,
right? Like you're just gonna.
I mean,
your cigarette smoke is not gonna set that off. But all right, I get it. I guess whatever. I don't.
Yeah. The night is heating up, raise hell and turn it up, saying if you go on you might pass under a drain pipe. Oh yeah, don't threaten me with a good time. And he's just saying like like people are warning him that this is going to go crazy and it's going to get out of hand, but there's no such thing as getting out of hand. Don't threaten me with a good time. Like yeah. That's what it is. It's just like, all of that sounds fucking awesome. I'm going to do it. Like that's basically it.
Just
And again to the refrain again, hell of a feeling though. Let me get into verse two. I don't know. Do you have more to say about the chorus? Again, no, it's just it's just highlighting the debauch.
Yes.
Essentially.
Yeah. Like this is
again saying
you'd envision just five dudes walking down the street, knocking the shit out of mailboxes with baseball bats, throwing bottles of beer.
Yeah.
Just that level of dumb shit. It'll be interesting too once we get to the video because there's thoughts there, but I think the video does a good job at selling this party life violently, but
violently selling the party life. Yeah. It is very much doing that. It's serving a purpose here.
Yes. I mean, these songs that have no meaning behind them. It's like, what the fuck?
verse two, shall we?
What are these footprints? They don't look very human-like. Now I wish that I could find my clothes, bed sheets and a morning rose. I wanna wake up, can't even tell if this is a dream. How did we end up in my neighbor's pool, upside down with a perfect view? Bought a bar at the speed of sound, fancy feet dancing through this town. Lost my mind in a wedding gown, don't think I'll ever get it now.
I love it. I love the starting of this, What are these footprints? They don't look very human-like. I love that.
And again, it is, because I mentioned it earlier, but it's very, highlighting because, again, you fucking were doing crazy shit and you ended up everywhere and you stepped all over your footprints and they look like fucking crazy Sasquatch shit, but it's just you being nuts.
Yeah. Well, and I've also read that as you're just partying with the fucking devil, essentially. You're partying so hard that Satan himself, the hoofed bastard that he is, cause that's canonical, just came up and hung out.
Well, actually, now that I actually clicked the genius thing on accident. I think it actually might be literal now that I'm reading it. Brendan Urie revealed that this is one of the few lyrics that isn't autobiographical. I haven't had an animal walk through my house yet. I have dogs, so I guess that counts. So it's like a fucking cow or like a goat or something. Right. They just had they had random animals at a party.
Yeah.
And he's seeing the footprints on the floor. That's actually funny.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, your read on it's pretty damn good too. I've never thought of it that way. That's pretty damn cool.
Yeah.
Now I wish that I could find my clothes, bed sheets, and a morning rose. And then what is the morning rose? I guess just
let's Google morning rose. I'm scared. Waking up to find that blood is blossoming across your genitals.
Okay.
I think it's a way of saying you have a boner.
Yeah.
I have a boner. One boner.
Wait, do we wreck the spirits of the podcast?
Bed sheets and your boner. Speaking in cursive over here.
Yes.
One boner, please.
Yes.
So his clothes are gone. He's wrapped up in bed sheets. He's got a fucking stiffy.
Yeah.
He's not sure if he's even really awake. He's in the pool, which is a kind of a callback. I mean, he's not in the pool in the album artwork. He's on the roof without his clothes on, but that's kind of a throwback to the album cover.
Yeah.
Upside
down with a perfect view. This is where all that growling that I had mentioned of. He's kind of doing that thing with his voice where it's all just a little deeper.
Yeah. Upside down with a perfect view. Yeah. It's kind of graveling through it. Yeah.
Which I feel is good. It kind of sells that.
It's good.
Yeah.
And okay. It's good. It does sell it. But again, it's very it's the clean process version.
It is. I can hear it and be like, that sounds cool, but I can also hear it and be like, yep, I'm kind of not sold, but.
Yeah. And now he's wearing a wedding dress now, too.
Yeah.
What the fuck? No more cane, no more party hat. Now he is the groom's bride, and he is a whore.
Yeah.
And we know this. What if I could? Bitch. Yeah. And then he'll say, don't think I'll ever get it now. Don't think I'll ever get it now.
Yeah, what is the it?
Which?
Just life. Wedding dress? Oh, maybe. Yeah.
Life.
Yeah. Life.
He did find the wedding dress. Someday.
He did find the wedding dress. Someday. Always a bridesmaid, never a bride.
Right.
Bar to bar is a fun, like, just fun hearing, fun singing.
Yeah, it's like fun hearing, fun singing. Like, it's like, it's like, yes, we're traveling the bars and we're going from bar to bar, but also like bars is like a song.
Yeah.
It's pretty clever. It's a clever thing.
He's a little Gene ass.
He's a little Gene ass. He's a little clever boy.
I mean,
writing songs.
Just fun.
With his six friends.
Yes. Picked last.
Yeah.
Truly.
So we get the Rock Lobster riff again, and then we go into the chorus again. And then we come out into the bridge. So let's listen to the bridge. And we'll probably throw the refrain in one more time, because the refrain was like, we'll talk about it.
Yeah.
We'll listen to that.
I'm a scholar and a gentleman, and I usually don't fall when I try to stand. I lost a bet to a guy in a chiffon skirt, but I make these high heels work. I've told you time and time again, I'm not as thick as you drunk I am. And we all fell down when the sun came up. I think we've had enough.
But yeah, it's doing this like fast and like he's it, like I love when they do like the slow down, fast, slow down, grab the wall, wiggle, make you want to make your ass fall off, like type thing. No.
Too good.
I'm sorry. I said slow down and I was just like, it's all my brain just like immediately shut down. No, but like I love when Brendan does that, like where he'll the song is fast paced and then it just like calms down and he sings with a soft voice and like
right.
There's not a lot of instrumentation. And it does it here, but it but like what I mean by process is that it feels like it's just like, okay, we have done this part and now we have to do this
yes.
part.
Yes.
As opposed to just being like a natural element that I like,
right.
Where it's just like, it's cool that it's slowed down here, but it's just like, it doesn't feel natural.
No.
It feels weird.
Yeah. This is the part in the romantic comedy where they have to spend 20 minutes of act three, everybody getting mad at each other.
Yeah. This is a funny verse though. The bridge is funny.
Yeah.
I'm a scholar and a gentleman. And I usually don't fall when I try to stand. I lost a bet to a guy in a chiffon skirt, but I make these high heels work.
Yeah.
Brendan did an interview with Coup de Main that this couplet was inspired by an actual bet. He says, I was in Hollywood and I went to a bar. There was a guy in a beautiful chiffon skirt. He was in a chiffon skirt and wearing high heels. He was in drag. I was like, wow, that's amazing. We ended up talking and hanging out for a little bit. And he had said, basically, I challenge you to see who can fit more hot dogs in their mouth. The bar had hot dogs. So he won. I lost immediately. I thought I was just going to win. I was like, let me redeem myself. So like, who can chug a beer faster? I lost again. So that was embarrassing. He said, okay, now here comes time for the bet. You have to put on these high heels. I had to wear them for the whole rest of the time I was at the bar. I wore them. I pulled them off very well. And then, of course, as we know, he was in kinky boots.
Yeah.
Wearing high heels in 2017. So,
do you think if Dapper Dan George Clooney were there that he would have won that bet?
Which one? The hot dogs or the beer?
The hot dogs.
Who can say? He's a handsome guy, though. If I was into guys, the Dapper Dan man would be for me. The bye song.
I love the. I've told you time and time again. I'm not as think as you drunk. Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Uh huh.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We all
have
them.
You been drinking?
No, it's too early.
It is noon 30 for you.
Nope. This, Adam, let me
you
tell
calm
you.
Calm down.
Everything is already fucked.
It's already fucked. I'm not as think as you drunk I am.
Yeah.
And I do love, and we all fell down when the sun came up. I think we've had enough where it's just like the sun, they partied until morning and it's just like almost like vampires. Even like right, the sun came up and they just collapsed. We're done.
Yeah.
We're done. We collapse where we are. And the reason why I love the cycle. Refrain here again, the refrain, they're doing the refrain, but it's just like the drums behind it. Again,
yeah.
I love that type of thing. And that one doesn't feel quite as forced as the bridge does. And then it ramps up again and goes into the chorus, which is the last part of the song.
Like it's it feels a little more like drum solo-y. Of course, you can't have a drum solo with lyrics over it, but like it feels more drum solo-y in the fact that like, yes, you've heard all of this before, but this is like the first time that we've actually just focused in on these, like on this instrument. So I think it's good. That's the one to play.
No, I do enjoy this song. It's fun. It vibes. Again, the problem with this album is not that the songs don't bop. It's that they just like bop in a very like algorithmic way. If that makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, 100%. Like it's that process bullshit. Like right there.
Mm-hmm.
Like we have, I mean, like you said, it's a checklist. Like we did this. Now we do this. We did this. We're missing this part. We need this part.
Fun sample. Check. Growly voice. Check.
Yeah.
Slow down with the instruments. Check. Like, it's just like he was just like, okay, here's things that we need to do to make the song good. Checkbox done. And it's like, that's not it.
No, I just looked at what you fucking sent me. That was a mistake.
In the live stream, straight up jorking it. And by it, well, let's just say my peanuts.
So bad. So good.
So bad. So good. So bad. So good. So good. Sweet Caroline.
Yep.
Oh, what do you have any final things to say about Don't Threaten Me With a Good Time before we ship off into the night?
No, I do like the one genius commenter who kind of like I did had to make sure to get their one in on the cane in a party hat line. I mean, we are a Panic at the Disco podcast. We can't just not say that.
Yeah. Has anyone, this is Stewie Barrow in the comments of the Genius and the Genius page, has anyone noticed how this song has a few references to Panic at the Disco's first album, A Fever You Can't Sweat Out?
You know what would have been cool about that comment, though? If he'd have said a one, they'd have said just any one reference.
Yeah. I do love this. I have concluded that Brendan Urie was higher than his forehead and his heels when he wrote this song, oof, but it's great.
Damn. That's good shit.
Higher than his forehead. Wow.
Poor guy.
Wow, 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 wow.
And then, you know, you got teenage Naruto down here saying, I'm not as thick as you drunk I am. I get it. He's saying it wrong because he is super drunk. Just got it. Yep. Cool. Great. Must be a reference to Fever We Can't Sweat
literally,
Out.
Literally everybody is just like saying that line and that's it. I'm not as thick as you drunk I am. I'm not as thick as you drunk I am. My fave line ever. For years now, I've always imagined pack of camels and an actual herd of camels stampeding through LA at night. And in the center, Brendan in a shopping cart with a screaming smoke alarm in hand. That's actually an interesting, like, double look at it. Because obviously, he means, like, obviously, like, you're supposed to get the cigarettes from it. Pack of camels. But, like, pack of camels, like a herd of drunken idiots going through LA.
Yeah, all right.
Being weird.
Spitting like everywhere.
I'll accept that.
Spitting it.
I'm spitting. I'm gonna ride this baby till it spits.
Ooh.
We gotta go.
Yeah. What's next week?
Next week, I'm so glad you asked me. Next week, we're talking about the third song on Death of a Bachelor, the first single released Hallelujah.
That's right.
We're talking about hallelujah.
Praise with that body.
Praise with your body. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Alle, 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 hallelujah. Glory, glory.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on.
Beautiful, beautiful. Very good.
Love you, bye.
Love you, bye.